Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live in the green space. And if you're just tuning in, remember when we're live in the green space, you can see the Brian Lehrer Show as well as listen as we live stream video when we're down here on the first floor of WNYC's 160 Varick Street. Go to WNYC.org for that live stream or thegreenspace.org. Now, if you're a fan of The Simpsons, maybe you recognize this voice.
Serving the customer is merriment enough for me. Thank you. Come again.
Hey, Ganesha, want a peanut?
Please do not offer my god a peanut.
What?
You stealing squishies? Please pay for your purchases and get out and come again.
That is the voice of Apu. Help me with this, Harry.
Nahasa Pima Pedalon. It's a gibberish name, but I'm good at saying it either way.
But it actually is supposed to mean some, like, curse word, right?
Yeah, it's the Nahasa Pima Pedalon is the Sanskrit word for racist nonsense.
And of course, those of you who know The Simpsons know that Apu works at Springfield's Quickie Mart convenience store. What you may not know is, despite Apu's thick Indian accent, he is actually voiced by a white guy. And this fact, like so much about Apu and what he represents, has haunted comedian Hari Kondabolu his whole life, so much so that he has now made a documentary about it. Hari is here along with the director, Michael Melamedoff, here in the green space to talk about the new documentary, which is called The Problem with Apu, which just premiered on True TV last Sunday. Do I have that
right,
Michael?
That's right.
Okay. So, Harry, welcome back. Michael, welcome to WNYC. We'll hear some more excerpts as we go. Why was it important for you, Harry, to tell this story?
I mean, I feel like it's a story that hasn't been told because for the longest time, South Asians weren't allowed to talk for themselves, right? Like, there was a whole era where, like, the only image we had was of this cartoon character, and that represented our whole community. Well, it really represented our parents' generation. We didn't exist, apparently. But, so I felt like we finally get to talk for ourselves, and I think there's an interest in representation, and The Simpsons is one of the greatest shows of all time. I'm a huge fan. It's a global show. It's something, even if you're not a huge fan now or you don't really watch, you're familiar with. And Apu is certainly a notable character because it was the only one that existed that was South Asian. So it felt like there was a way to talk about bigger issues through a discussion of Apu and The Simpsons.
You grew up in Queens, by the way. Let's establish this
yes.
for our local audience.
Yes, there were more than one South Asian in Queens.
Yeah. You show a childhood photo in the film of you and your brother with a Christmas tree, which you said was you pretending to have Christmas. Was that real or something you made up for this movie?
I mean, I don't know what it means to pretend to have. I mean, we bought things and took part in the economy, so we celebrated Christmas. Like, the way we do in America, so we did that, yeah.
Michael, tell us about what you like about this film, why you got involved.
I, like Hari, am a first-generation American. I'm the son of two immigrants from Argentina who came over here in the late 70s. And as a result, a lot of my work has always been focused on the sense of cultural outsiderism. I think when your parents emigrate here, you grew up in this country oftentimes both feeling a lack of belonging in the country that your parents came from and a lack of belonging here. And it's really easy to both desperately want to integrate into the culture through things like Simpsons and the Star Wars and the Indiana Jones films, all of which were on the playground. There's a little boy, huge touchstones for me. And you so desperately want to integrate. And at the same time, you're very quickly able to see through the lens of your experience, through the lens of your parents' experiences, the ways that you don't fit in. And in particular, the ways that your parents' otherness really comes to the fore and it becomes a measure of you as a child growing up. And that was the thing that I really latched onto as soon as I started talking to Hari and kind of understanding the genesis of this piece for him. Look, there was this light bulb that went off that said, my parents have accents. My parents are both doctors, and in spite of all of their accomplishments as professionals, as human beings, I knew that their accent was a marker for my friends when they would come to the house, and that my friends could not help but see them as other, but I only saw them as my parents.
Well, it's funny. I feel like every person of color has this moment where they realize that they are a person of color and that they're different. And growing up in Queens, New York, I didn't really feel like a minority because I wasn't. And so there was this, you know, sense of like, well, I'm just like everyone else. But when you start consuming the media and you start watching TV and film, and you start to realize that no one here looks like you and reflects your community at large, not just the South Asian community, but Queens, you start to realize, oh, this country isn't what you thought it was. And you start to feel your skin in a way that you haven't before.
And your critique of Apu is much more than the accent or the fact that he's voiced by a white actor, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, the biggest thing is that, one, it was the only representation, and also it's a very stereotypical form of representation. There's nothing wrong with being a convenience store owner, but is it an authentic voice, right? This character was written through the lens of white writers to reflect what they saw of our community. Fair enough, it was 30 years ago and nobody thought The Simpsons was going to last or any show was going to last for 30 years. And whether it should have is arguable. But I think that, but at the same time, like, that is, it's a crippling thing, I think, when you only have one image and you're trying to be American and show Americanness. And we're in a country where we're questioning the idea of what Americanness is still. And that is a big part of the national discussion. I don't think it helps when we have images that take Americanness away. I realize I sound like a terrible killjoy being a comedian too. It's ironic. But like, I think it's important that we are critical of these things. I think it makes for better conversations and ultimately better art.
Here is a clip from the film where Hari speaks to Whoopi Goldberg about minstrelsy and Apu.
Based on your definition of minstrelsy, does Apu count as a minstrel since it's brown paint, a white guy's voice?
I would say so, but he's not singing and dancing, is he? Ah!
Who needs the quickie mark? Now here's the tricky part. Oh, won't you rhyme with me?
Yeah, there's...
Okay, then he's in the minstrel show. He's singing and dancing, he's in.
He has all the qualifications.
Do you want to define minstrelsy and talk about Apu in that context?
I mean, I think it's I don't think I can make the clearest definition, but basically it's the, I think, representation of, especially of people of color, of a minority group's characteristics, others' assumed characteristics, their facial features, usually for mockery or to make money, right? So whether that's, like, as Whoopi says, like, you know, blackface items on a cookie jar or, like, a vaudeville show, like, it kind of has a range of uses, yeah.
I'm going to play another clip from the film right away. This, to me, was probably the most cringeworthy part of the whole documentary. You spoke to Dana Gould, executive producer of The Simpsons from 2001 to 2008. And the only, you talked to him about, well, he makes the argument that Apu's accent makes the character funny. But as I say, to me, this is the most cringeworthy part of the film. It starts with Dana and we'll hear Hari in conversation with him.
The bottom line was always, what's funnier? Our job is to write a comedy. The fact is, sober Barney, not funny.
Right.
Out Smithers, not as funny. Humor comes out of conflict and the seven deadly sins and are less, and are more the aspects of our personality that we're maybe not so proud of.
What was Apu's flaw?
I wouldn't say he was flawed, but he was a first-generation immigrant with all of with the trappings.
But, I mean, could you say that a lot of the stuff that Apu says wouldn't hit as hard without the accent?
Yeah, well, there are accents that, by their nature, to white Americans, I can only speak from experience, sound funny, period.
Ouch.
He was being honest.
Yeah.
Do I want him to sugarcoat it? Like, he was the only one who stepped up, and he's a, you know, which was incredible also to get him. He's a legendary comedy writer and is someone who I see, you know, as someone, you know, who's a writing hero, somebody who's just brilliant. But he was honest. I didn't need him to sugarcoat it. I knew that that was the truth. That's part of the reason why we made the movie, because people find this voice funny. I mean, it's not an actual Indian accent. There's a billion people, many different regions, many different languages. An Indian accent means as much as, like, oh, yeah, an American accent, like they have in New England or Texas. Like, it doesn't mean anything. So I understood what he meant. I think the part that was frustrating is while I'm hearing it, I'm like, this is the problem. Like, this is the idea of the trappings of being a first-generation immigrant. I mean, that is an outsider's perspective of a community. It's not authentic.
Well, also the fact that with Barney, what made him funny was being drunk.
Yeah.
As Dana Gould says, with Smithers, it's being in the closet while he's being a toady to Mr. Burns.
I mean, he's right, but that doesn't mean it's the only way they can be funny, and it doesn't mean that because something's funny, it's justified.
But then the equivalent of that is just being Indian, which is not an equivalent.
Yeah, it's the presentation of his South Asian heritage as a flaw. When, you know, we can discuss whether alcoholism is a flaw or a disease, certainly, but within the context of this conversation, that is 100% what Dana's equating. And it's hard to see. You know, one of the things that we think about with The Simpsons is that it's one of the really last truly monolithic television shows. You know, as the culture has become less inclined towards these kind of monolithic pieces of culture that we're all consuming at once, The Simpsons is one of the true last ones, and its dominance on television for 30 years is a signpost of it. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is the great writers that it birthed. You know, the fact that it's a writing room that spawned Dana and Conan and all these writers that anybody who's anyone in comedy cares about and looks up to. And collectively, these men, many of whom we adore for their talents, had a collective blind spot. And does that collective blind spot come from all being white and Harvard educated and coming up in this country at a certain time? 100%. But how do we move away from that blind spot?
And Dana Gould throws a question back at you and asks about Mr. Burns, the evil owner of the Springfield nuclear power plant.
Can I bust you on something?
Go ahead.
Do you think Mr. Burns is one-dimensional?
I think Mr. Burns is one-dimensional, but he is a one-dimensional caricature of a rich maniac, which there are many and who have power.
Mm-hmm.
I think an Indian convenience store owner who's accented doesn't have power, especially in that situation.
Oh, he walked right into that.
That sounded like it felt good for you to say.
Oh, when he said that, I'm like, Dana, what are you doing? Like, that's a... Were you trying to throw me off? I knew the curveball was coming. I knew what to hit. I like baseball. but yeah, it was very strange. Like, I knew... I mean, when I heard that, it was very telling. Because he's a brilliant writer, and he was executive producer on that show, and a key voice. And it's like, if you think those things are the same, we're viewing this from a very different perspective. I'm always looking at who has power in the situation. To me, it's more interesting when you go after the person that has more power. That's a challenge. But like going after somebody with less, that's just bullying. That's not hard. If you can hear it in a sports bar, why is that good comedy writing?
My guests are comedian Hari Kondabolu and film director Michael Malamudoff. And their new movie is called The Trouble with Apu. And we can take phone calls. Listeners, if you're relating to this or want to ask a question about it or say something about it, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or if you're here in the green space, raise your hand and we'll come around with microphones. You talk in the film, Hari, about being bullied as a child, somehow linked to Apu, literally?
Literally being bullied?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't
linked
figurative.
To Apu.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. I mean, if you only have one thing, what are people... I mean, everyone's a kid. Kids are looking for ammunition. I think also in New York, because we snap at each other. That's part of the culture here. Like, everyone's clever because we go back and forth. Like, that was our big thing. That was the one thing we had. It was Gandhi or a cartoon character. You know, I preferred the Gandhi, and... After 9/11, I preferred the Apu. So it's kind of a tricky, you know, like you take what you can get. But yeah, that was definitely the image. The generation before had monkey brains. The generation before that probably had Haji. Gandhi, always ever present. But yeah, it's limited. It's ridiculous. And it also means, people always ask, like, well, there's other caricatures on that show. There's other stereotypes. So what's the big deal? Ours matter more because we only have a few of them. They're weighted differently. If you have a bunch of different representations of a group or even of like a subcult, like middle-aged white men, you're going to have so many different options. Indian immigrant, how many can you think of how they're represented? That's the only ones that stick. Each one is weighted 10, 15, 20 times more as a result.
We'll continue with Hari and Michael here in the Green Space, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live in the Green Space with comedian Hari Kondabolu, star, and Michael Molombadoff, director of the new film, The Problem with Apu, which premiered on True TV last Saturday. We have a question here in the Green Space. Hi there.
Hi. I was very fascinated by your story about growing up in Queens and then seeing the rest of America. And it struck me that what you experienced was really a truly American lifestyle, because you think about all the other immigrant groups over the last 100 years that have gone through what you're going through, when the Irish came, when the Jews came, even when back when the Germans first came. Do you see what you're going through as any different than what they went through? Do you see that what you're experiencing is more tortuous or more difficult than what they went through in the last 100 years?
I mean, it's always different, right? Because there's different ways people came to the country. Like, a lot of the first generation Indians came after the Chinese Exclusion Act was removed, and there was a huge bunch of visas that were released. Then you have the H-1B visas of the, you know, the tech industry, and then you have people bringing their families over. Often, you know, those are the folks who are less educated, working these really rough jobs. There's a ton of people with great educations working jobs, as opposed to people being brought over as slaves, or people being brought over as indentured servants, or people being brought over, you know, or coming because of extreme poverty, like a lot of the Irish did, and those early immigrants. So it's always very different. I just hate the fact that America puts everybody through a hazing process. I don't see it as necessary. And also, I think the big difference is all those other groups, Irish, Italian, German, they get to integrate into this idea of whiteness. Like, they were all seen as outside of it, right? There were the signs that said, no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. That's poor dogs. But, like, it's that weird, bizarre thing, right? Like, how, you know, you can then integrate into something else. Meanwhile, if you have pigment, you can't. And that's very bizarre. So I think it is part of America, unfortunately, that every immigrant group has to deal with. I just wish we didn't do it anymore, because we should know better.
Let's go to a caller on line two, Dave in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Okay.
I'm just curious what the caller thinks about, I'm sorry, what the guest thinks about sort of the continued, what I see is the continued representation of Indian characters, similarly in shows that I believe are much more recent. I have little kids, and they watch some preteen show. I don't know whether it's on Nickelodeon or what, but it's a live, you know, show with real characters. It's not a cartoon. It's called Bunked. And there's an Indian character on there that has a similar accent. And then there's a cartoon, Phineas and Ferb, that has another Indian character with the same accent. It does. I mean, I think these are much more recent shows. Just curious what your take is.
Can I ask you first, as a father, what image of Indian Americans you think is being conveyed to your kids through that shows, through those shows, positive, negative, mixed, anything at all?
You know, it strikes me as silly. You know, I'm not sure why they need it. None of the other characters that I recall, and there's, you know, these are shows that, well, forget about the cartoon, but the other show has Asians and blacks and whites, and you know, it's a preteen show. There's fat kids, there's skinny kids, there's every demographic. And none of them seem to have an accent except for the Indian kids.
How are you familiar?
I honestly, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't been following kids programming in quite some time. But I think it's very, I mean, Michael yeah, probably has.
I mean, I have young kids. And I know Phineas and Ferb is our friend Malik Panchali.
Yeah.
You know, and so what I'd say about Phineas and Ferb at the very least is that, you know, it is a South Asian actor voicing the character. It is an actor who, you know, in our conversations with him, has voiced that he has a measure of control over how he chooses to voice the character and what he's representing through the character, and what he sees the work that he's doing as being a conduit to representing young South Asian children to other South Asian children. And that makes a difference. You know, it's not that accents are inherently bad or acknowledging accents or difference is bad, but context 100% matters.
And you do say in the film, Hari, that when The Simpsons started, Apu was the only pop culture representation of an Indian person. Now we have Aziz Ansari and Mindy Kaling and right. that guy from Lost, as you put it, and others. So is Apu somehow more okay now because there's more of a context?
Well, I'll say two things. One, I think that I agree with the caller's perspective. I do think as much as the idea that they're, you know, he's controlling the accent, it's just really strange. Again, none of the other characters are accented, right? Like, that's just, why is your first exposure to brown people in this country as a foreigner? There's nothing wrong with being from the outside, but why is that your primary? There's something to that I find a little strange. With regards to your question, I think it is a little better, you know, because there are more images. You can't just say this is the only kind of brown person that exists, or that's not the first image that pops up. We're in the Aziz and Mindy era. Like, it's a different time period. But at the same time, like, it still is what it is. And do I think it's better if a South Asian actor did the voice? Not really, but I do think it would be better if a South Asian actor got paid.
We have 3 minutes left. I want to get you on one of the things in the news that you've probably been thinking about, Al Franken. And coming from the world of comedy, he wrote, "I've told and written a lot of jokes and I thought were funny, but later came to realize were just plain offensive." That quote is in the Times today. Are you reckoning with anything like that, even as you poke The Simpsons?
I don't want to be careful. The difference between, I think, I've never touched a woman as part of my joke. I think that's a big difference. I know that's not what you intended, like, but if you're going to mention, you know...
Well,
that's never my punchline, is like, oh, and let me grab your boobs. Like, that's not a punchline to me.
There's also, so. I mean, being transgressive and doing the right thing don't have to be mutually exclusive. Like, what's this idea that being transgressive means doing the wrong thing? I think being transgressive is about speaking truth to power. And so when we see great comedians be transgressive, it's not about offending. I think it is about touching a nerve where we recognize our own behavior. And the difference to me between transgression that's based on offense is that it's about pointing at somebody else's otherness and laughing at it versus pointing at your own foibles and saying, how do we do better? Why do I feel this way? What is this dark heart of mine? You know, I think that's a profound difference.
I mean, one just small disagreement is that, you know, I'm okay with offense because offense is really, you know, it's subjective. And to me, I like to offend people with power. You know, people have walked out of my shows for all my claims of being a politically correct comedian. I've had a lot of people walk out of my shows, and it's not because I'm offended by the fact I'm not offended. Like, it's not that. Like, clearly I'm bothering some people. So I think offense is fine. It's just about who are you offending, and are you okay with offending them?
And there we will have to leave it with Hari Kondabolu, comedian and host of the podcast. I'll plug your podcast, Politically Reactive, right?
Yes.
With W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah.
And director Michael Molamedoff. Their new documentary is The Problem with Apu, which is now streaming on the True TV website and app. Thanks so much for coming to the Green Space today. And audience, thank you for coming to the Green Space today. And listeners, thanks for listening. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.